Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Welcome to NBA Today. He is Richard Jefferson. I am Malika Anderson. Man, I don't know about you, Richard, but when I sat down last night, I flopped on the couch, flipped on my television, my league pass. I didn't even know where to start.
Oh.
There were 12 games in action. 11 of them were going on at once. I mean, you have James Harden making his Clippers debut. You have Joel Embiid going off.
And luckily, we weren't competing against Monday Night Football, because obviously, if you watched that game, it was a little disappointing. But you know what? This is where the action was last night.
11 guys were in the middle of 30-point nights. There was so much going on. Nikola Jokic on his way to another 35-point triple-double. But of course, when the ball is in the all-time leading scorer's hands at the end of a game, that is where we are going to start our show. LeBron James, he was back in Miami. The Lakers, they look to get their first road win of the season here. So let's take a look at how this went down. Of course, we start as all LeBron James games start with the chalk in the air. We're going to pick this one up in the third quarter. A minute left here. No call on this. Actually, our Dave McMenamin just reported that the Lakers have filed a grievance with the league, just citing the lack of fouls called here on LeBron James, how he was officiated. They want them to take a look at this. Darvin Ham would get teed up on this play.
Well, I just don't understand. There's been 12,000 games in the last 10 years. None of them have been overturned by letters sent to the commissioner.
I'm not sure overturned is the goal, but yes, ask Mark Cuban about that. Meantime, Jimmy Butler going to work. 10-point game here. Now 4-point game. 2:40 left to go. LeBron James gets that one to go, Richard.
Yes, and look, he was a problem. Look, no Anthony Davis in the second half. Everything fell on his shoulders. Look, he's doing what he can. Second spectrum.
Essentially down the stretch, these guys couldn't score for the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the game. So yep. Austin Reeves elevates here. Second spectrum says he has a 36% chance of making the shot. Guess what? Clank.
I'm going to start second-guessing second spectrum. The Lakers are last in Phil. Now watch this. Right here, he passes to Steve Kerr.
Austin Reeves.
Yep, doesn't knock it down.
Didn't quite get it to go.
Okay, so we go
one
late game.
Game. 8 seconds left here.
What does he do?
Is this the right play?
He passes to Paxson.
He passes to Cam Reddish. He has a 43% chance to make this shot. Is it the right play? Right?
Yes, that's the point that I'm trying to make, is Jordan passes to Steve Kerr. Jordan passes to Paxson, and they hit shots. You need guys. Your job is done once you've created the advantage. You got to knock down those shots.
Well, the Lakers, they lose by one. Miami gets the 108-107 win here, and the Lakers' struggles on the road, they continue. Take a look at this. I mentioned the final 239 on Monday. I think ew just about sums it up. So let's say hello to the one and only Chinua Achebe, as well as Zach Lowe, who is beaming in from the East Coast. Zach, I want to start with you here, because another close loss for the Lakers in a game where they won the minutes, right, with LeBron James on the floor. So what do you make of the same issues continuing to plague this team throughout the first 2 weeks of the season here?
The Lakers are minus 77 in 95 minutes with LeBron on the bench. That's crazy. It's hard to be that bad, even if you're trying to be that bad. Even if you're playing with four guys, it's hard to have a negative differential that bad. And this team is built with Austin Reeves and D'Lo and Gabe Vincent, who is admittedly injured, along with a bunch of other guys. It's built to withstand LeBron resting, to withstand LeBron saying, hey, you take the offense like Austin Reeves did down the stretch of the game. The Lakers are 24th in offense. Mm. They were a bad half-court offense last year in the regular season and the playoffs. They need to figure out a way to get out of the mud. And look, even with LeBron on the floor, their offensive efficiency would rank like 12th or 13th in the league. They need to get out of the mud. And last thing, I'm not sure the team that had one of the biggest free throw differentials in the history of the NBA last year positive and is on track to have another gigantic positive free throw differential this year wants to start complaining to the league about unfair treatment left and right, and I'll leave that issue there.
We'll leave that issue there for now. The director of grumpiness. That's right, Zach Lowe, the director of grumpiness. You can read more about it in Dave McMenamin's story on ESPN.com. But he did bring up minutes, Richard. Not to make you the director of grumpiness now, but you were pretty fired up about this on a show call.
I have a lot of titles here today. Just stay with me here. So for me, it's absurd. Are we five games into a season and we're talking about this? So like the injury history is different. Like guy like Kawhi. That's had multiple, had ACL, multiple knee injuries. We're really taught at the beginning of the season, we were talking about watching the 40-year-old's minutes. I understand that. And then when the team started struggling, they started had injuries, they started upping those minutes. If they didn't do that with LeBron James, all of a sudden this team was going to have one win, in my opinion, because all of their wins have been very close games. The big thing with Anthony Davis is that when you are the horse, when you are the guy that they are looking to be, you are going to have the bulk of the minutes, the bulk of the shots. We're going to build this around you. And look, in that second half, he was hurt. That's tough.
Yep.
But ultimately, if we're talking about regulating someone's minutes in their prime, you guys are missing the point.
Anthony Davis did say that he does expect to play on Wednesday, even though he did leave with that hip tightness spasms.
Look, the Lakers fans have to be thanking God Almighty up high that LeBron James, ever since he's been in the league, has invested $1 million into himself. Because at this point, to be 38 years old and hold it down, like to be able to play the way that he is playing, it's like no one player can get you a win, no matter how good they are. LeBron, Giannis, they all have to tag team, do things that are bigger than themselves. Jokic, we saw how important Murray was. So for LeBron, it's a really difficult position for him to be in. And I think overall, all players not named LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they've just been too inconsistent, unfortunately, to really help LeBron. Because if you want to be a championship contender and play with LeBron, you have to make open shots. Now, Richard's right. It's early in the season. Oh, gosh. Did I say that
yeah,
out loud?
Did I say that out loud?
It is early in the season. I love the support that Cam Reddish has, especially missing that shot. That was the right shot to take. He's capable of making that. But the reality is that the inconsistencies of the supporting cast is going to be what dictates whether the Lakers win a championship or not. And lastly, I'll say this. I am someone who has written a strongly worded email
to the association in the WNBA. Madam.
While they did not overturn my technical foul, I did not get fined for one. So they matter.
Okay.
I saved some bread, bro.
No, but it's so funny. So we were talking, and there was a Laker.
It was long.
Not fit for air.
It was long.
They were like, she went to Stanford. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
we're not going to charge her. I'll pay you not to have to actually read this. No, my thing is this. Laker fans are used to, we had a conversation. They were like, Laker fans are used to a somewhat selfish superstar in the right way. Kobe was ultimate greatest. Give me the ball. Get out the way. But those are new Laker fans. Old Laker fans remember guys like Magic Johnson that created plays and ran an offense. Look, at 40 years old, we can't expect LeBron James to do all the things, hit all the big shots. Yes, to a certain degree, but you need teammates. I am sorry. The end of Kobe's career, the beginning of Jordan's career, if they don't have the right teammates around them, it's hard for them to go be the best version of themselves.
Before 10 games in, we pause before we start to press the panic button completely. The reality is they didn't have D'Lo down the stretch of that game. He got ejected. They didn't have Anthony Davis down the stretch of that game. He was injured along with all
no Vanderbilt
into that game. The only point of concern as this becomes a pattern for me is that even with all the minutes that LeBron James is playing, 5 points, that is their largest victory margin. That's it, even with all of those minutes. So how are they going to be able to create a little bit
of separation? Didn't LeBron say they're the Steelers?
Yeah, so there you go. Let's put LeBron James and the Lakers in the rear view for a minute and focus on the reigning finals MVP, because that's what Nikola Jokic did when it comes to all-time triple-doubles. Take a look at this. After his performance last night, Nikola Jokic tied for fourth on this list. You can see where they stack up here. All right, let's take a look at how this went down in the highlight, please, Director Kathy. All right. Nikola Jokic hosting the Pelicans. Remember, Jamal Murray did not play. He has a hamstring injury that he suffered over the weekend, and Michael Malone says it's going to keep him out for a while, Rich.
Well, look, and this is going to be a big stretch for their team. We saw the Denver Nuggets struggle a bit. We know Jokic's numbers are going to be insane, but we saw their team struggle. But I think this team is better equipped. Shout out to Calvin Booth for what he has done with this roster. They are better equipped to handle injuries.
Nikola Jokic. I mean, at this point, you just have to laugh. He is... He's the best player in the world right now.
He's the best player in the world.
He's the best player in the world right now. I'm not mad at Reggie Jackson getting a couple of extra minutes here with Jamal Murray sideline, Shanae. They're going to need that depth in the playoffs.
Yeah, and exactly what you're talking about. I mean, we're seeing it on both ends. Have you seen how hard he was on the rock?
Look out below.
Come on now.
I honestly, this is next level.
When you play with a great like this, he brings out plays like that.
Yes,
Michael Porter Jr., I mean, dunk of the week thus far. Denver rolls 134-116. So Jokic now has gone for at least 20 points and 10 rebounds in all 8 games this season. That's the longest streak to begin a season since boy, Kevin Love.
Yeah, but Kevin Love was in Minnesota. They weren't winning anything.
Can you just not let your boy live?
All right. No, he's
Richard,
a hater.
Speaking of your boys, you played with Jason Kidd.
Yes.
Played with LeBron James. And you had a part, right, in them getting the triple-doubles that they did?
Oh, yes. Yes, we did, ladies and gentlemen.
Is Jokic passing them up already?
Let's talk about this. Is my chair going to be okay?
Yeah, your chair is fine.
Do I want to talk about this? Should we talk about this?
We should talk about it.
We should talk about this. Because Jokic is the best player in the world. And he doesn't have an offensive flow. And ladies, he doesn't have an offensive flaw. We're going to get into that later. But yes, you find something that he is not an A-minus at on the offensive end. But this is one of the things about triple-doubles. So I played with Jason Kidd. I played with LeBron James. And I played with Jokic. Look at these triple-double numbers. Luka is at 10 already. Larry Bird. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about, because our producer Hillary Guy said, Richard, bring the energy. One of the things that you have to understand is, look, you got Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain. Stay with me here now. LeBron James at 6'9", 6'10", 6'9". Even Oscar Robertson was a very, very big player for a point guard at that time. My point is this. As these guys get older, it becomes a little bit harder to get triple-doubles. Jason Kidd didn't get a ton of triple-doubles when he was in Dallas. Russell Westbrook hasn't gotten a ton of triple-doubles once he kind of left that moment in time where he was recording them every night. So it becomes harder. My question is this. People have asked me, does Luka, who is at 4 already, have a chance to catch Russell? I think we should look at the next stat. Pull it up. Every 5.56 games, Russell, who is the career leader in triple-doubles, Jokic is right there. Mm. Jokic is right there. And this is the key thing. Because he is a smaller player on this list, it is harder as you get older to get the double-digit rebounds, right? Same with Jason Kidd. Here, he's going to automatically get that double-digit rebounds. He's going to get that because that's the way he plays, and we know he is an offense amongst himself just with his passing ability. So to me, if there was one person that could break it, a thought, first of all, we thought Oscar's thing was unbreakable. Russ showed up. We thought Russ, no one's going to break it. And then here comes Nikola Jokic, the best player in the world, the player with absolutely no offensive flaws. If you find something that he is not an A-minus at, Malika, please let me know. I'm searching. I'm trying to figure this out.
He made 35, 12, and 14 last night look easy. We're just getting started here on NBA Today. It was a battle of the best offense and the best defense in Minnesota last night. How Anthony Edwards outshined Tatum and the Celtics and handed Boston their first loss. And James Harden, he made his debut in Madison Square Garden last night. So we're going to give you our first impression of the new look Clippers. Plus, Shanae, how many phones you got with you?
I got 2, not Zach Lowe 4.
Take them all out because there were 12 games of action last night. But who had the best performance? Was it Jokic's triple-double? Was it Bam's triple-double? Was it Anthony Edwards' 38-piece? Embiid going for 48 in just 3 quarters? Let you just know. Vote now. We're going to reveal the results at the end of the show. You're watching NBA Today.
I think I had the best performance last night.
No.
Stop.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Hey, Richard, what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? We're not going to go into that paradox for now. The Celtics' number one offense went up against
unstoppable force.
You didn't graduate college.
Unstoppable force.
Last night.
Cash University.
It can never happen. That's the. Anyways, whatever. This can, though. Jaylen Brown. That is the three-time defensive player of the year. Rudy Gobert that was attempting.
Nah. When he gets dunked on like that, his name's Gobert.
Stop it.
Rudy's my guy. That was my rookie.
Like yogurt?
Yeah. That was it. Like Gobert. Like Gobert.
Put it on a poster. All right. This game, neither team led by more than 8 points. Final seconds here. Jaylen Brown, you don't mind him taking the shot short off the front rim. So to overtime we go. But really, I should just call it the Anthony Edwards period.
No, it was an absolute show. He was just doing special things, getting guys in ISO. Look, going to work. Al Horford playing solid defense for a big man going against an offensive threat like that. But you just saw the momentum. And it's funny. Cat's an already confident guy. But in these moments, you just feel him getting more and more confident as he pulls up for the three.
No Karl Anthony Towns. In most of overtime, he picked up his sixth foul, and Ant just took over. Minnesota gets the win, 114-109, handing Boston their first loss of the season. Now, Edwards scored or assisted on 24 of the Timberwolves' final 27 points, 11 of those coming in overtime. Meanwhile, Boston was held to just 2 field goals in overtime. So our friend Kendrick Perkins, he was impressed. He said this on social media, quote, "That young man, Anthony Edwards, is special on both ends of the floor. That was the best individual performance thus far in this young season."
Look, he
lies there.
Yeah, well, look, he didn't. Obviously, Perk didn't like him enough to show up today. Thanks, Perk.
He's flying in for the show tomorrow. Meanwhile, Minnesota has now beat the top 2 teams in the NBA in like the past week, right? Boston last night, and then Denver last week. It is only 6 games, Richard.
Yes.
But what do you make of this Minnesota Timberwolves team?
No, I like them. This is what I think a lot of people envisioned them to be last year. Obviously, there was a ton of injuries. They never were able to get their core group really pushing in the right direction. But now they have a whole training camp. These guys are locked in. Anthony Edwards is playing at an elite level, continuing from the end of last season and into USA Basketball, where in my opinion, he was the best basketball player on that USA team. And then here, he wants to be that guy. He wants to be the leading scorer in the league. He wants to be an MVP, and you got to go out and show it. And when you go and do that against Denver, you go and do that against Boston, the 2 teams that are projected to meet in the NBA Finals, it is special to put those boys down.
People notice, especially, you know, they had some good performances against the Nuggets in the playoffs last year. I'm going to just go ahead and say I was wrong. I said on the call yesterday when our producers were talking about, the number one offense, the number one defense. I was like, I don't know. The number one defense, I don't know if this is going to stand the test against the Boston Celtics. I was so completely wrong. That's what the numbers say, Chinay. Do they pass the eye test for you now?
They definitely pass the eye test, and I will probably say I was right a couple months ago.
Right
because I said going into the summer with international competition, I expected him to take that next step and for it to carry over to the season, and we're seeing exactly that. Not to like, I'm happier for him than me being right?
I'm glad you're happier for them than you.
I love the 38 points, but I think people need to focus on the 9 rebounds and 7 assists. Mm. And then also the defense down the stretch. Yep. If you want to be a star player in this league, you have to buy in. You can't be a liability on the other end. And what did we see in the game? We saw him dig down and make plays. I mean, when you play with that type of heart on defense, naturally things come that are good on offense. And so this is what we all expected and hoped for Anthony Edwards. They had a lot of personalities for a couple years. They had a lot of, you know, fighting to figure out who's going to be the leader. And I think they realized that leadership is not spoken of. It's shown on the floor. And we're starting to see his young leadership really develop. And I love that.
And the defense. Look, when you got McDaniels and now you have Edwards playing at I'm calling him Ed. Eddie, my guy. Look, you know, but when you got two guys that are playing that high level defense on your perimeter, that is that first. And then you got
Rudy.
Rudy behind you. So that's impressive.
And Ed is becoming a bonafide two-way player. All right, how about another game that went down to the final minutes last night, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I don't want to talk about the Bucks defense right now. I'm just going
to say they don't want to talk about their
defense. And McHale lit them up for 76 points. But close game here. Oh my
God. See, Dame's not playing any defense.
Okay, but
I'm just joking, Dame. I got your back. Look, they've been on Dame's head the last like week or so. Some of that is real, but Cam Thomas he hit some tough shots.
Let's go to the fourth quarter here. Milwaukee Bucks down 3. Jay Crowder can't get it to go. Okay, watch Mikal Bridges here. Yeah, okay, he's going to Dame. I know that's a low percentage shot for Giannis. But his body reaction, his body language tells me everything you need to know.
No, you want to give that big fella confidence. Ooh. He hit 3 threes against the Knicks. Now, look, that's not his normal thing, but maybe he's been in the lab. Maybe Dame wants to give a little more confidence.
Single digits here.
Bring the double. Too late. Still able to get to the rim.
Tied game. 157 left. 145 now. Milwaukee Bucks, Chris Middleton was able to find a little bit of a rhythm in this game.
Look, his confidence you can see is building. I know it's been tough the last year or so with his body, but man, look at this. The synergy, this is Bucks basketball that we've been missing.
Yeah, it was the two-man game between Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo that really ended up winning this game. I know we've been seeing Dame and his efforts on full display. The Bucks able to steal the win here, 129-125 in Brooklyn. I want to show you what the Bucks big three did. I'm talking about Giannis, Dame, and Chris Middleton. They combined for 72 points in the win. That is their most in a game as teammates so far in this young season. So we saw a heavy dose of Chris Middleton down the stretch. It makes me think back to the 2021 finals, Zach. Chris Middleton was one of their closers in so many of those games. What was the key, did you see, to the Bucks' success with him?
They just need Chris Middleton to be Chris Middleton. He played more minutes last night than he's played in any other game this season. And he and Giannis have some built-in chemistry that Dame and Giannis don't have. Mm. They're going to – look, the reality is to win big, to win 4 playoff series, you need all your best players working together, doing lots of different things together. We finally saw some semblance of that last night. The gap between Chris Middleton and the Bucks' next best perimeter player is a gigantic chasm. This has to be a big three. It can't be a big two and ... afterthoughts. Chris Middleton's got to be right there with those other guys for this team to win the title. Last night was the first glimpse of that player that we've seen so far this year. It was nice to see.
Yeah, it was nice to see. You really do need that big three, especially when you talk about winning titles historically. That's what we've seen. And I do want to point out, 50 points from the bench last night, and every single point was needed. This is Bucks basketball that we've become more accustomed to seeing. We'll get into the defense a little bit more down the road. All right, still to come on NBA Today. At Madison Square Garden, the Knicks, they stole the spotlight from the Beard's first appearance in a Los Angeles jersey. So how does Ty Lue get the new-look Clippers to gel and gel fast? Plus, did Victor Wembanyama get his welcome to the league moment last night against the Pacers? We're going to show you what we mean. And the chef, he was cooking. How this season could cement Steph Curry as the greatest point guard of all time, at least in the eyes of one of his teammates. Don't go anywhere. You're watching NBA Today.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NBA Today.
After an entire summer of trade discussion, James Harden is officially a Los Angeles Clipper, and he made his debut last night in Madison Square Garden. So here's how it went down. I mean, I always end up walking up that tunnel, and MSG is always difficult.
Yeah, he starts sweating.
James Harden, though, making his debut here in the world's most famous arena, pulls up here, gets this one to go. He was 4 or 5 from the field in the first half. He scored 9 points, added 3 assists and 3 rebounds. The Clippers led 46-42 at the half. Rich, going ahead to the third quarter here, the game tied at 73. James Harden pulls up.
Whew, the Clippers are going to be a problem. Look, people can try and dissect them one game, five games, three games. At the end of the year, if they are healthy, they are going to be a problem because you have a mean distributor to high-level offensive players.
It was all Knicks, though, in the fourth quarter.
Good
I think
see R.J. Barrett back.
The offensive struggles, people forget, they have like the second-best defense in the NBA. They were rolling here. Isaiah Hartenstein, check that. Dante DiVincenzo gives it up, gets it back, goes up for three.
It's nice. Look, but at the end of the day, I've never paid money to watch great defense. I want to watch some guys put the ball in the bucket, and that's what they were doing late in this game.
Dante DiVincenzo heard you. He got that one to go as well. Knicks up double digits in this one. Jalen Brunson finds Julius Randle, who's been struggling a little bit early on in this season, but that three-pointer is good. The Knicks get the win, 111-97. Let's take a listen to James Harden after the game.
I feel kind of weird out there, but, you know, just not really having a preseason game or an opportunity to participate in the full training camp or none of that. It was just out there just basically winging it. But I try to go off my basketball instincts and, you know, what I've been doing for the last, you know, 2 years or whatnot. The first couple of minutes I was tired. I was like, oh, damn, they moving fast. But, I mean, I got adjusted to it. And it's going to take me a few games to kind of get used to the pace. But other than that, it was still basketball at the end of the day.
Ty Lue also said that he wants to give this group about 10 games to see things working in that capacity. All right, Zach, you were actually in the building, though. What did you see in this one?
It was a little clunky, and we should have all expected it to be a little clunkier, taking a giant piece who has the ball all the time and plopping him into a team 8-9 games into the season, 6 games into the season, whatever we are, and you got guys who need the ball all around him. So it was a little bit clunky. Everybody's got to find their place. 22 turnovers. Some of them were just sort of, we're getting to know each other, throwing the ball all over the gym. They've all got to figure out how to play together. It's a really interesting puzzle piece, and it's going to take a while. Should Russ start? Should Russ come off the bench? How do you distribute minutes? How much does James and Kawhi play together? These are all questions, but last night it was a little clunky with everyone trying to kind of find their place. You saw glimpses of how they could all work together and make it into something bigger than the sum of their parts, but it's going to take a while to get the kind of synergy they'll need to really compete with Denver at the top of the West.
Absolutely. Denver has set the standard. I know it's a good show when Zach uses words like plop and clunky in it. Our senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski is joining us in studio. And Woj, Zach touched on it, but I keep coming back to this idea that it's pretty rare to have just 6 games in a new piece plopped in like James Harden. We're not talking about the trade deadline. We're talking about 6 games into the season. So how is that adjustment reverberating around this organization?
Well, and that's such a big part of why the Clippers wanted to get this trade done as soon as possible, to do this 5 games into the season versus 55
right
at the trade deadline. They have time. Time is on their side to figure this out. And listen, that's why there are no illusions among the Clipper leadership, among their star players, and certainly within the coaching staff and Ty Lue, that this is going to take time for all the reasons Zach just detailed. But getting this trade done early in the season was paramount for this Clipper team,
sure,
especially when James Harden has shown you he can be a ceiling raiser for a team's record in the regular season. Postseason, there's still more certainly to see from him, but you're also not asking him to carry the load in the playoffs with this team that maybe he had to with some others.
Absolutely. And in Harden's debut, take a look at this. The Clippers, they played their slowest game of the year, just 93 possessions while also turning the ball over, as Zach mentioned, 22 times. That's their most in a game this season. So, Chinee, I mean, is time going to solve this, or is there a larger issue at play here?
I'm going to dive into the nuance of time. And the time that we should be talking about is the time between the point guards, because Russell Westbrook and James Harden are two opposite, polar opposite style of point guards. Now, when Russ is on the floor and he has the ball, James will have to work on becoming a better catch and shooter. That's something that Philly asked him to do, and now he's going to have to bring that over, and I think that confidence will help him. Now, when James Harden has the ball, Russ, they're going to have to figure out how to make sure that the court is not shrunk, since we're saying clunky. Make sure that the court is not shrunk, and that is the challenge. So managing the time when both of them are on the floor, the time when they're on separately, and how to make sure their stars keep going, it is imperative.
Well, look, at the end of the day, there's kind of this formula. Can he be the best player? And we're not talking about James Harden. We're talking about any superstar. Can he be the best player on the team? Mm-hmm. Does he need to be the second best player on the team? Does he need to be the third best player on the team? And I think what we've seen over the past few years is James Harden had a moment where we felt like he could be the best player. Then he goes to Brooklyn, and it's like he's probably the third best player on that team. And then he goes to Philly, and he's the second best player on that team. The point that I'm trying to make is he is fitting in right where he needs to be. When he is playing in the postseason, they're going to need him to distribute to those two horses, Kawhi and Paul George, and then all of the other talent. So they don't need him to have a 30-point, a 25-point explosion. That would be nice, but ultimately, if he's distributing to those guys, that is where his value is probably the most. So I don't need a little bit of a postseason. What is he going to do? As long as he's distributing it and those dudes are carrying the weight, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
One more concern now for the Clippers. Mason Plumlee, their backup center, you saw him helped off the court last night. Team called it a left knee sprain last night. Now, he's undergoing imaging evaluation today, and there's certainly some concern around that for the Clippers. They don't have a clear picture of it yet, but this is a player who, you know, playing 17 minutes a game. They don't have depth at that position on the roster. P.J. Tucker's played some small ball center in his career, certainly. And this is not a Clipper team with the assets to just easily go out and plug in a veteran in that spot. So that'll be one to watch here to see, you know, how Mason Plumlee comes out of this imaging, this evaluation here through today and maybe even to tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, because really Zubats and Mason Plumlee, those are the two true centers on this roster. They need Mason Plumlee for the push that they're trying to make. All right, let's check in on James Harden's former teammate here, Joel Embiid, who currently leads the league in scoring once again. Joel Embiid, Sixers hosting the Wizards here. Joel Embiid, he was dominant in the third here. Take a look at this. The two-man game, the pick and roll, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you every one of these buckets that he hit because he didn't miss a shot. No, look, Joel Embiid, we know that this man is dominant, but sometimes you get a chance to play against a team like the Wizards and you can really show people how dominant you are. And that's what he did. If you can't make a guy miss a shot out of 10 attempts, I don't know what defense it is, but at the end of the day, they don't have an answer. Not many people have an answer for Joel Embiid. And really, to me, it's about the rest of these guys. How do these rest of the guys fill in? That will determine.
Why do you need to rest when he's playing like that?
No, come I said on, the man. Rest of the guys will determine the ceiling. It ain't going to be Joel.
No,
in
I
my
feel
opinion.
You. I'm just saying, on this night, that was his night. Let him go.
Oh,
six
yeah. Sounds like he's playing
against the
Rockets.
Field. Now, pulls up 7 of 7. The connection between him and Tyrese Maxey clearly on full display as well. Furkan Korkmaz getting in the action.
Still hasn't missed a shot yet. Look at that. Okay.
Is that some money losing?
I love it.
Okay. No,
don't
we love
do it.
It. We love
we
it.
Love
we love it.
Yeah. Maxey had 11 assists in this one.
You can't do the marbles.
Yeah. A career high for him. Even Tyrese Maxey, though, is impressed.
Joel
Embiid, 9 of 9 from the field there.
9 of 9. Look at it. Oh, ooh. Go to work. Get in your bag, big fella.
That's a spot right there.
Honestly,
he had 29 points in the third quarter. He was 10 of 10 from the field. He finished with 48 overall. Again, he didn't even have to play in the fourth quarter. So he played like 30 minutes in this one, and the Sixers get the win. Embiid is the third player to go 10 and 10 or better in a quarter in the last 25 years, joining Klay Thompson, who went 13 and 13 during his 37-point quarter in 2013, and, of course, LeBron James in 2008. But was it the best performance of the night last night? Last night, Richard?
I already told you.
Oh my gosh. He pulled out 48 points. Vote, let us know. Scan the QR code. Do not miss out. We're going to reveal the results at the end of the show. You have your say who had the best performance in the NBA last night.
We'll is Zach Wilson on the list?
We'll be right back.
Are they on the list? No.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, yo, get them donuts. Get out of them donuts. Get out of them. Get your ass out of them donuts.
Bro, 5 seconds, man. If you still...
Yes, I went bald when I was young. Stop tagging me in this video. I do not look like that.
You guys want to get your face on NBA Today? Oh. Look, stitch this and give us your hot take for the season.
Hot.
We're going to put your face up on that big screen and answer your questions.
It's the director of Ambiance. It's the People's Champ, and it's a new NBA season, which means it's time for, you know, my favorite segment. It's called TikTok and with Richard. Now, look, we sent out a prompt on TikTok telling our beloved viewers, hey, look, you can answer some questions up on this big board. And what you guys do, you submit it. I made a promise to get you guys on this big screen, and we've been doing it all promise last season. Helps. We're starting. And guess what? We have even more surprises that are coming for you, because for the very first time ever, we have an individual that is coming in studio, and she is coming right behind us, Lachelle Smith. Let's give it up for Lachelle. She is our first contestant here on TikTok and with Richard.
And
Honestly, look, we're gonna jump right into this. You know, make sure we have enough time for TV. And look, Lachelle, we asked our viewers what is their hottest take to start the season. Let's take a look.
Hottest take.
My hot take is that Luka's winning MVP. Why he gonna win MVP? Because the Mavs gonna be a top 3 seed in the West this year.
Luka's winning MVP. I mean, we asked for hot takes, Richard. You can't go with someone who's been like top 3 in MVP. If you said, okay, Cam Thomas, he's going.
Yeah, there we go.
That would be a sizzling take. I'm not mad at this, but it ain't a hot take.
No, Richard. It's not a hot take. But look, they didn't make the postseason last year, so like, and he's off to a good start. So we'll give him a little bit of leeway on that. All right, what's our next one?
The Houston Rockets are making the playoffs without the play-in tournament. Top 6 in the West.
Why is he in a closet? Let's first establish that. And let me just say this.
I respect
the DV. Show the chest off. What you got?
Excuse me. I need a little bit of help here. Can I put this on really quick? Could you help me here, Michelle? I've just got like some clothing, some accessories.
Yep. Here we go.
Yep, here we go. My finger's stuck, but it's all good.
Get through it.
Hey, we got it in. Houston Rockets, we are making the playoffs. I'm speaking of this because I'm from Houston. And you think about it. Jalen Green has taken the next step. Alperen Şengün, say his name right. He almost had a triple-double the other day, Jabari Smith Jr. Great coaching. We're 500.
They are on a win streak.
And look, I was quick on the board. So here we go. Our last and the one that we've been waiting for. Lachelle, here's yours. Let's show them up. Who we got?
RJ, I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be on the outside looking in come playoff time. Their best player is going to miss almost a third of the season. That's 27-8 off the board. I think they have a lot of issues, and I don't think they'll be able to overcome them. I think they're going to be on the outside looking in come playoff time.
What do you think, Lachelle?
I agree with OG. They are seeing the consequences of not having Ja Morant on that floor. It doesn't help that Adams is out, Clark is out, and it's so tough when your best player on that floor, Jaren Jackson Jr., is still struggling with foul trouble. So I agree with OG.
Oh, I want to know when OG recorded this. Like, that was...
Do you have a hot take?
I do have a hot take.
Give it to us.
Better be hot.
I know the West is tough right now, but my hot take is that the Lakers will be top 5 in the West by the end of the season.
Top 5? That's not that hot.
No, it is. Some people don't believe it. The Mavs are playing really well. Pelicans.
Yeah.
Suns could come back in there.
Okay, It's early. Maybe we're
If you said top 2, this is a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year. That is still the bar they set.
I believe it, but some people, you know,
there's a lot of people.
Some people are doubters right now. Okay, so on a scale of, like, kind of hot to Chinee's outfit, Red Hot Chili Peppers right now. How hot is that take?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Given that they couldn't make an open three last night, I think it's pretty smoking hot.
Lachelle, thank you so much for spending
time.
I think she has to come back.
Don't forget to submit so we can get you on the screen and get you in this building. Let's go.
Man, that was awesome. Coming up here on NBA Today, Draymond, he's going to tell you why Steph solidified his GOAT point guard of all time status. We're going to show you what he's doing so far this season that could end that debate. That's next.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're watching NBA Today.
We're 50 minutes into the show, and we still have so much action to get to, so let's go coast to coast. We're going to start in Indiana. Victor Wembanyama. He got rejected here by Isaiah Jackson. The first time in his career he's attempted to dunk and was turned away. Things did not get better for the Spurs. They gave up 152 points, the most ever in a non-overtime game for Greg Popovich. Chiney, was this more about the Pacers' offense or the Spurs' defense?
Pacers' offense, because they've been red hot. I think everyone that stepped onto the floor for the Pacers scored. I mean, they're balanced. They're playing good basketball. Halliburton has done a really good job of distributing. I like the squad.
Not to mention, I mean, second night of a back-to-back for the Spurs where they went to overtime in the first game.
Correct. They duly struggled. Noted.
Yeah.
Duly noted back-to-back.
We're going to note that. All right. Things
on,
went a little it's better
different.
For rookie Chet Holmgren. He threw this dime behind the back. Watch this. In transition.
With the left?
A double-double.
I'm telling you, he's my pick for rookie of the year. And I say this, I think that the Spurs, they might be good. They might be shutting down around game 60. I think this man is going to be playing into the postseason this year and hitting big shots and making big plays like last night.
The Oklahoma City Thunder, they are coming. Everyone can feel it. Steve Kerr said it the other day. How about Steph Curry, what he's been doing this season? He lit up the Pistons for 34 points, hitting seven more three-pointers on his way to becoming the first player in NBA history to make four-plus triples in each of his first eight games of an NBA season.
Yeah, I just don't know where he ranks. Like, when you're talking about the all-time greatest shooting guards, it is so impressive what this man is able to do.
Not to mention, you got to look at this, right? He's averaged 30 points on 50, 45, Ooh. 90 shooting splits through his first eight games in the season for the third time in his career, a feat that no other NBA player has done even once.
Wow.
Take a listen to Draymond Green talking about Steph Curry after the win.
You obviously play with one of the greatest point guards of all time, Steph Curry. Have another one.
Or the greatest point guard of all time. I'll take that one. Yeah. What about him?
So Steph doesn't seem like he's slowing down anytime soon. He is the highest scoring average through eight games for any NBA player in history, age 35 or older or higher. So Steph, what Steph, Richard? That's how I view you.
What, me? Yeah.
Steph Curry.
I am the Steph Curry of the NBA today.
What would Steph have to do to cement his legacy of what Draymond Green is saying, the best point guard of all time?
Again, probably win two more championships and, you know, one or two more finals MVPs. I think that's what it is. When we look at LeBron James and people are still arguing, is he the GOAT? Is he not? If LeBron wins one or two more championships, I think that would push him into that space. I think for Steph, what he's able to do, again, you have to understand the people that you're comparing him to. And it's mainly one. His name is Magic Johnson.
Correct.
Magic Johnson also won a finals MVP as a rookie, right, without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then you look at Magic coming into this league. Yes, Steph changed the game, but we can't add that because Magic Johnson save the game.
Ooh.
And so when you start looking at these things back to back and you start looking, Steph, there's no doubt. But again, these numbers don't add up, in my opinion. And Steph, when I talk about superstars that I played with, he is one of the best. He is one of the ultimate team guys. But just to me, as a basketball person,
rolling with the homies.
Look, I think he is the second best, maybe second or third best point guard. And I think he's probably the third or fourth best shooting guard of all time.
Richard, that was a real bar. We have to, like, let that marinate. Steph changed the game, and Magic saved it.
Magic and Larry. Magic and Larry. Magic
yes,
and Larry.
I really like that. I do think that when we have this debate on who's the greatest point guard, at the end of the day, point guard is tied to passing, in my opinion, because that's the narrative of what the position does. He just happened to be the greatest shooter. And I do see that, you know, with Magic, he has, what, 5 rings?
Yeah.
If Steph's able to get to 6, then we really are starting to talk when it comes to point guards. But I think if you play basketball and you're a point guard, people tend to really focus on your passing, where Steph is 44th all time, whereas Magic is 7th. Even LeBron James is 4th, and obviously we know Stockton is number 1.
Well, and really quickly, this is what I'm going to say. Like, growing up, watching Allen Iverson and watching him be that high-level scorer at the 2-guard, they had Eric Snow at the point guard, and that's where, like, Allen Iverson was able to. Steph is a much better shooter, in my opinion. Allen Iverson was better getting into the paint, but they played this very same position, and to me, Allen Iverson was more of a 2-guard than he was a point.
This discussion is going to get even more nebulous as we try to define what is a true point guard in the modern NBA, so we're just going to leave that for another day. All right, before we bounce, my friends, some good news that I'm certainly thrilled to hear. The USC Trojans, they tipped off their season last night without Bronny James, who suffered cardiac arrest during a team workout that was in July. Now, LeBron, he delivered some great news in his post-game press conference last night.
He's doing rehab. Every week he gets to do more and more and more. We have a big moment at the end of this month to see if we can continue to go forward. If he's cleared, then we'll be not too long away from him being back on the floor and back with his teammates and practicing and with the notion of being back on the floor and playing in game situations.
I mean, that is such great news. We are crossing our fingers
that he continues
to clear all of those hurdles and we get to see Bronny back on the floor soon. All right. We're almost done, Richard.
We are.
It's just almost, about the end of our show.
It's just about time for our show.
But the QR code on your screen, it means it's time to vote for the best performance of the night. We want to hear who you think had the best performance on Monday, the standout of the NBA action. It's your last chance. Don't miss it. Vote before it goes away. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
You can write me in.
James Harden makes his debut tonight in Madison Square Garden.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Oh, it's a punch from Kawhi Leonard with a left hand blocked by Isaiah Jackson.
Paul got all of that one.
Again, it's LeBron.
The rim rattler. Now a throw to close by Barnes. Got to the rim and stuck it down. Embiid.
Joker alley.
Rocks the Casbah.
Oh, the beautiful move.
Zach LaVine.
Obviously played with one of the greatest point guards of all time, Steph Curry.
The greatest point guard of all time.
Putting in the three.
I'm looking at the crowd. Are you enjoying the show?
I mean, what a night. Can you believe we're only 2 weeks into the NBA season?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, I can.
You're feeling it already?
Oh, okay. Man.
Well, last night was fun, though. Like,
it was
objectively,
amazing.
Like, last night was awesome. It was like, all right, I got to just flip the channel. What's happening here? What's happening there? The single best performance. We've been asking America all show, but before we get to their results, I want to hear from you, Rich. It was who?
100% it was Anthony Edwards. And I know we talked about it on the show, but mainly my big thing with him is that he is reaching into that moment. He is a star. Can we get him to that superstar? Well, that's him. He's playing the defense. He's doing the offense. He's leading his team. He's beating juggernauts. That's what it takes to be a superstar in this league.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to see an actual superstar that we all know, the reigning MVP, Joel Embiid. I mean, y'all, 48 points.
In three quarters.
30 minutes. And then also, that's the Sixers' 5th straight win. I know that it was a very, what, Richard?
No, I was going to say, Joel's got to, like, let him score a few points so he can go get the 60 ball. That's the only thing I'm saying.
That's not his fault.
Nah, just, you know, just
let him play. You got to let him play the 60 minutes.
It was Joel Embiid's night, but Tyrese Maxey, 22-11 with 0 turnovers.
Career high assist.
Like, this is the step up that they have been wanting to see from Tyrese Maxey, and I don't know if James Harden needed to be out of the way in order for that to happen, but the Sixers are clicking at the right.
Fired.
Not even shots. I think that there's
a better situation. I'm going to make it into a shot.
I'm going to take America's fan vote. Let's reveal, because we've been asking all show long, who had the best performance? You agree with Chiné?
Yeah, let's go.
The world agrees with Chiné.
Always, baby.
38% say that Joel Embiid was the best performance of the night. And then the two triple doubles are kind of rounded out.
Nah, man, that was. Look, first of all, Joel Embiid was nice. I had to pick one. Joel Embiid, 10 for 10. That's a great game stat, let alone a quarter. But no, he's impressive.
Not to mention with the minutes load that we're talking about for so many stars in the league, the fact that Joel Embiid is just, and I know it's the Wizards, but they're chill. He's chilling after three quarters.
No, that
consummate
look,
professional.
That's the top, man. Right
there's
now,
no game
watch your
tonight,
loads at the start of the season. Watch your loads.
Time to take the night to go and vote. We will see you tomorrow right here on NBA Today.
You don't.